Welcome to Business Isn't Hard. I'm sure a lot of you listening know that relationships are important, but you struggle with actually building those relationships. How do you get people to know you? How do you build relationships with not only a few people, but an entire industry? How do you get them to know your name? Today, my guest did just that, and these relationships are the number one reason why he's founded not one, but two successful startups. We'll talk about getting people to know you, why this generation is different, and more. Let's get started. Welcome to Business Isn't Hard. Today's guest is Chris Oatey, founder and CRO of Credit Union 2.0, a credit union-focused consulting firm helping financial institutions modernize and connect with members in a digital world. Chris has spent over two decades in the credit union and fintech space, with leadership roles at Credit Union Wallet, Fiserv, South Bay Credit Union, where he still serves as the board chair, and more. He's known for building strong partnerships, driving revenue growth, and bringing innovative ideas to the credit union industry. Off the clock, Chris enjoys a good double Oban on the rocks and has a soft spot for Girl Scout cookies. Chris, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, Oliver. How are you? Thanks for having me.
I'm doing great. Yeah, no, thanks for being here. I'd love to get into, I know you started Credit Union 2.0, but even before that, I'd love to hear about how you even got into the credit union fintech space as a whole.
I graduated from college in 1994, so a little while ago, and I might be one of the last people who got a job from the newspaper. I literally found a listing in the Los Angeles Times in the classified section saying there was a small company here in Southern California that needed somebody with banking experience and a college degree. And I had been a teller when I was in college, a teller and a member service rep at California Federal Bank, and I had a college degree. They didn't seem to care what it was in, which I think is a good lesson, right?
Okay.
They just wanted to know that I could complete something. And my communications degree from Cal State Northridge apparently was enough.
There you go.
So I applied for the job and I got it. And the company was called XP Systems. It's still around today. It's known as XP2. And it was purchased by Fiserv in roughly 2000. So I went from an employee. I was a customer support rep. The credit unions would have problems with their technology. And they would pick up the phone and they would call me and ask the question. And nine times out of 10, I'd tell them to reboot the machine. Only we called it, you know, power cycling the machine because it sounded better. But I did that for a couple years. And then it became apparent I was going to go into sales. You could dress me up and put me in front of people and I wouldn't embarrass you. So they immediately plucked me out of customer support and put me in sales. And then when we were purchased by Fiserv, which is a Fortune 500 company, everybody who didn't make millions of dollars on the purchase complained about it. And I didn't. I viewed it as an opportunity to work for a large company. So we went from a small company with 150 employees to Fiserv, which had, 21,000 employees at the time and twice as many now. So I bounced around Fiserv for, the better part of the next 14 years, starting business units within Fiserv, which wasn't easy to do, and working all around the credit union division. So that's how I got my start in credit unions and financial services and technology.
Yeah. Was that kind of a sort of corporate entrepreneurial role to start, these different programs and stuff within this massive company? Or what did that look
like? Yeah, it was. We had one product that I became familiar with. I knew real well. And I was one of these people who, I guess you'd call it a workaholic, right? I'm not blessed with a giant brain. So I realized I just have to outwork people. And that's what I did. And I found a product that we were using for our own customers. And I realized, hey, you know what? We can sell this to other customers of other core providers. And so I did it a few times and nobody really said anything. Nobody told me not to do it. It was bringing revenue into the company. So I pitched the idea of, hey, and I didn't, I'm using I loosely, right? It was me and a team of people. Uh-huh. We pitched the idea of, hey, listen, we've sold this accidentally to six or seven or eight different credit unions that aren't our customers. What if we be purposeful about that and attack that market? And then of course, we got pushback because it was a big company. So then I went out and closed a deal that was roughly 10 times larger than any deal we had ever closed for that product. And all of a sudden it became, hey, we should start a business unit that focuses on this. So so I got to start a business. We got to start a business unit within a Fortune 500 company, which was cool. It was great. You know, we were operating like a startup, just we had really deep pockets. And we were
right,
able
so
to do
best of both
some
worlds
cool
right
stuff.
There, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that let me know that, hey, you know what? This is kind of cool. And then I got to, you know, after we did that for years, then I got to work with all the ancillary products that Fiserv had purchased over the years, because they were an acquiring company, still are to this day, and integrate them into the sales culture at Fiserv.
At what point were you like, I'm ready to do something on my own or with some co-founders?
It was interesting. I went to, when I left Fiserv, I went to a company called CU Wallet or Credit Union Wallet. Mm-hmm. And I got a call right at the same time I left Fiserv from a friend of mine named Paul Fiore. And
okay.
if you Google him, you'll figure it out. But Paul was the original co-founder of a company called Digital Insight, which was the very first
okay.
internet banking company. And
wow.
He took it public, sold it to Intuit for, I don't know, $1.2 billion or something like that. Like Paul's got legit credentials as an entrepreneur. So
yeah.
anyways, and him and I had been friends. I attended bar with his little brother when I was in college. So like I had known
Okay.
him a day or two. And
There
he
you
worked
go.
at XP Systems with me briefly. So he called me and said he was going to start this thing called CU Wallet, and would I come with him? So, you know, being 43 years old and having little kids, I thought this would be a great time to leave my Fortune 500 company and go to a startup. So,
yeah.
yeah. So I did that. That was a big risk. Don't ever do that, dude. When you turn
I was gonna
43,
say,
don't do
yeah.
that. So I did that, and we ran CU Wallet for, I don't know, four and a half years, built it from nothing to 130 customers. And we had partnerships, and we ended up selling it in late 2017 to another credit union based company.
Wow, there you go. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the genesis of CU 2.0 was when we sold CU Wallet, I was, you know, 47 or so, roughly. I was too young to retire. I didn't get the kind of money out of it to retire. So I had to do something. And I thought I was going to start the Chris Oddy FinTech sales organization, right? Because I had a big ego. I still do. Right. And so I thought I was going to do that. I signed three clients and I was ready to go, but I knew I needed a fourth, right? I modeled it out and I said, all right, how much money do I need to make here? Where's it coming from? Is it sustainable? And I realized I needed another client. So luckily at that time, another friend of mine, Kirk Drake, had actually just written this book called CU 2.0. So
okay,
Kirk
wow.
had just written the book. And so I knew he was going to turn the book into a company, because Kirk's a serial entrepreneur as well. And I called him, I pitched him my idea, told him what I wanted to do, and said I wanted to make him client number four. And this is when we pivoted, right? Kirk said, that sounds like a great idea, but let's go ahead and make the book the company, right? And then let's create the brand around the book. And then we'll be able to capture the attention of both the credit union side and the fintech side by using this brand rather than our own personal brands exclusively. And
okay.
Turns out that was a genius idea, right? Cost
There you go.
Cost me half my company, but it was a genius idea. And we took the book and we built the brand that way. And we've been at it, what are we sitting here at 2025? So since like 2018, we've been working on this.
That's so awesome. Wow. So that was, I mean, massive risk to jump into CU Wall and then to go into CU 2.0. I'm sure that was probably pretty scary at the time, huh?
It was CU 2.0 was easy, right?
Okay.
That was a no-brainer, because Kirk's a good friend of mine and I wanted to work with him. And I had already been through the ringer with CU Wallet, right? On that startup from nothing standpoint.
Uh-huh.
And so Kirk and I were able to do CU 2.0. And the beauty of what we do as a consulting firm, we don't need any startup capital. It's not like we had to go raise millions of dollars on our idea. Kirk and I just had to agree that it was a good idea and form the company, and that's what we did.
Okay, that's awesome. Yeah,
Yeah.
so is there going from, Pfizer, a Fortune 500 company, massive company, to a startup? What skills, especially like on the revenue generation side, like how did those skills transfer over? Was it very similar? Was it like extremely different? Like what did that, was it, was there a big, what does the comparison look like?
Well, it's the soft skills that you and I were talking about, right? Like knowing people, right? It's the network, right? I figured out long ago, the more people I know, the better off I am, right? Plain and simple, right? I'm not going to win a battle of technology knowledge with pretty much anybody, right? And it's not my goal. And even if I do study up and win that, I can have a more intelligent conversation with you on generative AI. Yeah, I can this week. But it's going to change next week. And then it's a zero-sum game where you're constantly doing that. Whereas the path I've taken down the sales and revenue generation route, it's all about the people you know. So remember when I was telling you about my time at Fiserv, when Fiserv bought my small company and I bounced all around the company? That was an intentional decision to bounce around the company because I got to know not only all the people in the company, but more importantly, all the credit unions in the United States. Right, I got to know all of them, and I put on the annual company golf tournament because I realized that put me in front of 288 people once a year, and everybody knew who I was. Right, it was a pain in the ass, but it was a great thing to do because I got to know everybody. So when we started CU Wallet, those are the skills I brought to CU Wallet. I came to CU Wallet. Paul asked me to come because I know. I didn't just know the CEO of, where are you? You're in Arizona, right? I didn't know the CEO of one Arizona credit union. I knew that dude and the dude who preceded him and the person before that had left to become the CEO at True West Credit Union, right? So knowing all those people is a tremendous advantage.
Yeah, oh, of course. So if you had any, I mean, I guess you kind of spoke on it already, but for those who are just graduating, who have been in the workplace for, a few years, do you have any like a tips or tricks or pieces of advice for, really networking, building your brand, getting people to know you and getting to know others?
Yeah, listen more than you talk. That's the number one piece of advice I have for anybody. Listen more than you talk. And I see this all the time because, at CU 2.0, we hire your generation, right? We're getting kids that graduate from, UC Santa Cruz and can't afford to live in Northern California. So they move up to Southern Oregon, where our office is. And we're getting top-notch talent at fractions of the cost of Northern California rates. And I always tell them, listen more than you talk because you're going to learn. Even me, I'm 54 years old. If you see me in a presentation setting or a sales setting, my goal is to talk as little as possible, right? And I'll even gamify it, right? If I've got an hour-long call with a credit union, I want to see if I can make it a full 20 minutes without talking, right? Just be prepared with the questions that you want answers to and keep asking them, right? And develop the relationships that way where you're actually knowing something about the people you're selling to, right? And then listening to what they say and being able to help them, being able to craft your message. I see so many people show up and they want to prove how smart they are, right? Luckily, I haven't been burdened with trying to prove how smart I am ever, right? I want to sit and I want to listen to people talk and learn from them and then propose solutions that can help them.
That's a great, take on it. And especially from a leadership perspective, you obviously being the co-founder, you're hiring, and like you said, you're hiring a lot of people who are fresh out of college. Is there anything that really stands out to you, across the most successful, new hires, people who are kind of trying to work their way up in the company? I'm curious what you see or what you look for in interviews or just in general, what really stands out.
You know what's really surprised me is
What?
how I've had to adapt and learn, right? I'm from
Really?
the, you heard my story, right? When I talk about how I had to outwork everybody in my first job. Yeah, even then, that wasn't the culture, right? And now, especially, it's not the culture. All these kids we're hiring are more about work-life balance, right? And that's what they're looking for. So Kirk and I had to adjust the way we manage people. Right, to be
Interesting.
cognizant of that. You can't just say, you have to come into the office If you're here 8 hours a day, that's the bare minimum. If you're here 10 hours a day, maybe we'll notice you, right? And it's hard work. That's not the way it goes. It's here's what needs to get done. Let's do it as a team, right? And let's appreciate the fact that people do need time off, right? And
yeah,
so telling people they don't have to come to an office every day, for starters, that was a leap for me, right? And I get it. That's the way it should be. That's the way it's going to be going forward. And anybody who tells you they need to be, everybody needs to be in the office 40 hours a week is just asking to go out of business or get subpar talent, right? You're not going to attract the top talent if you tell them, right? If you want lousy employees, great, go ahead. You want to over manage them, great, go ahead. Make them come into the office every day. I'm trying to hire people with a sense of accountability. And that's what I'm finding the younger generation has, a sense of accountability, not overmanaging. So we don't look at our employees and say, did you put in your 40 hours this week? We said, listen, these are the six things that needed to get done. Are they done? If you did them in 2 hours, I don't care, right? I just don't care if you did them in 2 hours. I'm going to pay you what I'm going to pay you, and we need the work done.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, it sounds like you've really kind of come around to the change between generations. That's super interesting. Speaking of, I know you have your book, which you built Credit Union 2.0 off of. I want to get a quick lightning round. And the first question is, what is your favorite business book or podcast?
My favorite business book or podcast? My favorite business book is actually, I'm looking to see if it's here. Oh, yeah. It's a good book out here by my friend John Best, who wrote Banking on Digital, James Robert Lay, Banking on Digital Growth. It's more a culture book than it is a business book. And I absolutely love some of the thoughts he has in there.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, he talks a lot about building culture. And in case you haven't noticed, I'm kind of into building corporate culture. Like
yeah,
I'm trying
actually
to create
kind of. So
a
I'm
brand.
Going to break off the lightning round a little bit because I want to ask more about that. Has that been really hard for you to build up a culture? It sounds like you kind of really have an understanding of what it is, which I think is, the first key part. But then how are you, communicating that and really establishing that within, the rest of your employees within the company?
We don't actually call it the culture at CU2. We call it the brand,
okay.
Right? You're representing the brand at all points and times. And here's kind of brand standards that we do and don't do. And we have our, accountability is one of our big mission pieces. It's a central piece to what we do. Everybody's accountable to everybody else for deliverables, even me.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. So it's very results driven, would get we have to have done approach is what it sounds like.
Yeah. It's accountability. It's resourcefulness. That kind of stuff is what we're looking for in the brand, which translates to the culture.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. That's, it's a really good take on it. What is your biggest pet peeve in business?
If you don't know who the drunk guy is in the room, it's you. There's a lot of, socializing with people, and it generally involves alcohol at these trade shows. People that don't see the line, that drives me nuts. Like, see the line and understand where you're at. I should have a better pet peeve, but like, literally, that's my pet peeve.
Fair enough. Yeah, no, I could see how that would be a pet peeve. What is a skill that every leader should have?
Patience.
Has that been hard for you to learn over the course of your 54-year career, or your long career? Or was that something that came naturally?
Yeah, it took some time to get patience. It took some time to understand that. Yep.
Last question of the lightning round. What is your go-to method for handling stress?
Handling stress, I paddleboard, stand up paddleboard.
Oh, wow. There you go. That's
there
really
is
cool.
No stress when you're on the ocean and you can't even have your phone on you. That
Yeah.
One session
Yeah,
in the
no,
ocean, I'm
I'm
good.
sure it's nice to get outside in Southern California.
Yes. Yeah, it's not bad. It's not a bad spot to live. I pay extra money to live here. I might as well take advantage of the weather.
Yeah, seriously. There you go. Okay. Well, thank you, Chris, so much for being on. We'll end with this last question here. Over the course of your career and all your companies, what has been the biggest core key to your success as a leader?
Preparedness, being prepared for everything I walk into. I try to never walk into a situation where I'm not prepared. It may look as if I do, and that's the art to it, is making it look as if you came in and you're just that bright that you're figuring it out. But I generally don't ask questions. I don't at least have some knowledge of what the answer is going to be. And I know everything about the person I'm talking to before I walk into a meeting.
Or what does that look like before, like, I understand on like a normal, like a technical call, like you got to be prepared with all the information, but in like a networking soft skill way, what is, or do you have any like specific way you try to prepare to, you know, talk to the person, know about that person?
Yeah, I try to know where they work, where they live, right? What their job role is. If they're working at a credit union, how big or small their credit union is, how many branches it has, all the stuff that's publicly available, I do that. And then when I'm talking to technology companies, I try to learn something about their technology before I get on the phone with them. So I don't show up and say, tell me about your product. I can say, okay, I think your product does this, and I think this is where it's valuable to credit unions. Is that what you think? Right. And then I get their opinion on it. Sometimes I'm right. Sometimes I'm wildly off, but at least I'm prepared and I know what their product does.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I'm sure, especially as from a sales perspective, you know, that's huge. Well, thank you so much, Chris, for being on. I really enjoyed our conversation. This was great.
No problem, Oliver. Thanks for having me.
That was Chris Oatey, co-founder of CU 2.0. Chris's story is a clear example of what happens when you intentionally put yourself in the right rooms, or in his case, on the right golf course. From his early days in customer support to leading national sales efforts, Chris made it a point to get to know the industry, and more importantly, the people in the industry. Hosting golf outings, showing up, building trust, those relationships became the foundation that fueled not one, but multiple successful startups. And the lesson is simple. If you want to grow, you have to get to know the people, and they have to get to know you too. Chris does this through two simple but powerful habits. He listens more than he talks, and he's always prepared. That means walking into every meeting, knowing the person's background, their role, their company, their challenges. So instead of asking generic questions, he leads with insight. It's not about proving how smart you are, it's about being curious, informed, and focused on the other person. The conversation should revolve around the other person and what they have to say. But beyond relationships and tactics, it's his mindset that ties it all together. He worked hard, harder than most, putting in the hours up front. And while this was a beneficial mindset for Chris, he also learned to adapt. With new talent placing a heavy value on work-life balance, he now leads with trust, not control. He doesn't manage hours, but he focuses on accountability. And that clarity, progress over presence in the office, is how he defines his culture. And that is how great companies are built. Thanks for joining me. This week, I encourage you to try and use Chris's gamification technique. How long can you get the other person in a conversation to talk before you have to speak again? Try it out and see how the conversation goes. I'll see you next time. In the meantime, keep building something great. Thanks for tuning in.